as a new religion, it's good to like look at the existing religions and say, what are people doing well?
Indeed.
So you go to Christians, right? You say, Jesus.
It's got the Jesus thing down.
You go to Islam and you say, polygamy.
70 virgins in heaven.
That attracts the guys.
Wonderful.
The breadwinners.
Yes.
The tithe givers. You go to the Jews, you say, let's get that money.
Attracts the ladies.
Yeah. So it's like the best of all the Abrahamic religions rolled into one.
I think you said it best, Brett. It is the best of all Abrahamic religions rolled into one.
Okay.
Indeed. See, you're gaining your own testimony right now.
Gaining my own testimony.
Yeah.
That means I'm convincing myself.
Yes.
So then what happens next? Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is Monday, December 11th, and what you're going to be hearing is the audio from one of my most exciting and satisfying adventures from all of School Sucks across America. It comes from day 19, November 2nd. I was in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I met up with fellow media creator Paul Duane. We actually collaborated on his show a few years back. You might have heard about Paul, lacrosse-dressing Mormon anarchist. That's his brand. He was a fantastic host. Now, considering that Paul and I had never met in person prior to what you're about to hear, and we had only been together for about an hour, and we did no collaboration on the planning, I think it turned out exceptionally well. I will advise you that it is very different from many of the other shows you've been hearing from the School Sucks Across America tour. This is off message. It does not serve the mission, if you will, of the trip. Salt Lake City is the capital of Mormonism. Paul was raised Mormon. He wanted me to have a tour of the area, including the headquarters for the Church of Latter-day Saints, which is called Temple Square. That's where this entire audio takes place. But an ordinary tour of Salt Lake City, even of Temple Square, translated into an MP3 file, not the most exciting time, I would think, for the listener. So I really appreciate Paul's effort to make this fun. If you have a sense of humor, like mine, I think you are going to find this to be one of the most enjoyable presentations from this entire collection of audios. If you don't have a sense of humor, and I know you folks are out there, give it 20 minutes before you shut it off. Let's see if we can win you over. And during many parts, some of you will be saying, gosh, I wish there was video of this. There is. If you go to the show notes page at schoolsucksproject.com, you might be there already. There are two embedded videos. I'm going to tell you, they're not 4K. I ripped them from a Facebook live stream, but you can at least see where we're going, what we're looking at, what we're talking about. So if that way of viewing the show makes sense for you, I recommend that, but it's not mandatory. I think this translates to audio just fine. So there's more coming up on School Sucks very soon. We've made it all the way to Utah, so that means shows are coming from the Bay Area in California and Los Angeles, California, before we start the trip home, and you're going to hear probably five or six more shows from that route. I will also be reposting my appearance on You're Welcome with Michael Malice. I'm going to do a little bit of editing, and I'm going to put something special together for the patrons, and you'll hear more about that when I release it. So that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Huge thanks to Paul Duane. If you enjoy this, please check out his work at paulduane.net. That's D-U-A-N-E. And here is our tour of Temple Square in Salt Lake City from Thursday, November 2nd. This is School Sucks Across America, Day 19. Take care. Man will survive the harshest conditions. Stay alive through difficult decisions. So make up your mind for me. Walk the line for me. If you want my love, if you want my love.
Brett, this is really awesome to have you here, man.
Thanks for having me. This is great so far.
Yeah. Everything I'm doing right here was really inspired by listening to your show to begin with. So
is that's the stroking? Really?
That's the truth.
Yeah. Oh, that's the truth. Great to hear.
And then we've got Steve Conlon from Five Wives here. You know, Brett's never been to Salt Lake before, and so I'm taking Brett on a tour of Temple Square, and I've dressed in my finest missionary attire. Okay, and I'm going to hand this over to Steve right now. And there you go, Steve. So I'm in my finest missionary attire. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to share the gospel with you tonight, Brett.
Awesome. I can't wait.
You ready?
Let's do it.
You ready for this? Okay. So anyway, Brett, we're just we're really close to the temple. But before we get into that, do you believe in God?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. You know,
do you believe in a higher power even?
Man, I was driving through Kansas, and I certainly understood why people do.
Yeah.
You know, because there's nothing out there, but it's just spectacular country. And I had a few moments along the way where I was saying, you know, maybe. My hostility towards the religious folks has really diminished over the last 3 or 4 years.
That's good.
I'm feeling much more tolerant. I'm open to the idea.
So there's a difference between God and religion.
Yes.
So strip away the religion. Mm-hmm. We're about to get into that, but just God.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever prayed?
Yes.
Yeah? What did you pray to?
What I thought God was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on some level, you've had some belief in a higher being.
Oh, I was raised Catholic.
Oh, good. Oh.
So, you know.
Okay, okay.
When I was a kid, I did confession. That's one of the sacraments.
Sure, sure.
So you go and you tell the priest your sins.
We love sacrament in Mormonism, too,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
So I was counting the swears, that I would say.
Oh, okay.
Every week so I could tell the priest and be accurate.
Okay, okay. So you did some confession.
Mm-hmm.
What's the naughtiest thing you ever had to tell the priest about?
Probably saying the F word. I mean,
this
was all said and done by the time I was, 8 years old. I don't think I went to confession after that.
Okay, okay. That sort of renders my other question moot then. You know, in Mormonism, the big controversy right now is kids having to tell their bishops, which is basically the priest,
mm-hmm.
if they masturbate.
At what age?
Oh, starting around, I would say, let's see, the first time I had to have really...
That's it?
That's it.
Oh!
It's beautiful, isn't it, Brett?
What a spectacular building.
Brett, that is a symbol of our Heavenly Father's love for us.
Were you raised Mormon?
I was.
Yeah?
I went on a mission, everything. Yep.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're going to go learn about the Mormons.
Okay.
And with any luck, I'm going to have you convinced to be a Mormon.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of social rewards.
There are. Let's go down this way.
Okay.
We can cross. I think that gate's open. Can you see that, Steve? Is that?
Looks like it might be. It's kind of hard to tell.
If it's not, we can. Oh, let's just go in this way anyway, because Main Street's always open on Temple Square. We should be a little discreet right here. So one of our challenges, that's a bike. That's a bike taxi. That's fine. One of our challenges tonight is to stay on Temple Square long enough that we don't get kicked out. I want to have as much time on the Lord's block as possible before they ask us to leave. Maybe they won't.
All right, so here we go.
All right, we're going to wait for these trains.
Man, I've never seen anything like this either.
Yeah?
These are just, they kind of have this in Boston, but those are really on the street. You could hit that with your car.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
I would imagine that it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting. Exciting news when somebody gets hit by the train.
We're
all clear here. We're clear. We have permission to walk. The state has granted us permission. So tell me, speaking of the state granting us permission, Brett, what, how do you feel about higher laws, things like that? Do you think there are any? Something besides gravity, like things like just right and wrong, moral right and wrong.
Well, I have based a lot of my thinking on the non-aggression principle. In very simple terms, there's no moral justification for the initiation of force.
We're on Temple Square now, by the way.
Oh, against another human being.
So it's unethical to aggress against another human being for any reason.
Which makes it hard to find, a legitimacy for individuals calling themselves government. But this way?
Yeah, let's kind of go up this way. I'm going to navigate us away from people in shirts and ties.
All right. So are we in like a forbidden zone here?
Or? Technically, no.
No.
There was a deal they struck with the city that said they'd play nice with the citizens of Salt Lake. Because this used to be part of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
But then the church was like, we need Temple Square to be even bigger because we have the biggest, best God.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the biggest, best Temple Square. And so they pulled some stuff with local politicians, and they were able to buy up this section of Main Street and make this beautiful little park.
So how expansive is it?
It's pretty big. You know, you've got, this is Temple Square proper over here.
Uh-huh.
This is the Joseph Smith Memorial Building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you know much about Joseph Smith?
Just the basics.
Good evening.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, good.
Hi.
Yeah? Good, excellent.
Brett's a visitor to Salt Lake.
Oh, awesome.
So this is the first time I've gotten to see any of this, and my friend Paul has a podcast, so we were actually touring and recording.
Yeah? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Glad you are you enjoying your trip so far?
It's great. It's a beautiful city.
Just been here for about an hour.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Wow, so only quick, huh? Where are you coming from?
Denver.
Traveling across the country.
Oh, okay.
And they said Salt Lake was a definite stop.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool town over here, yeah. For sure.
Beautiful coming in with the sun setting and all that. Yeah. Oh, it's just amazing. Yeah, just an amazing. So I'm from New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
So just an amazing day of driving.
Yeah.
So where are you guys from?
I'm from Oregon, actually.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, from Mount Hood.
Very nice.
But, what about you?
Local.
Right on.
But we don't need to, like, burst your bubble or anything. I'm with security.
Mm-hmm.
Greg is also. But we just don't allow recording and filming on church property. Of any kind.
Gotcha.
Just for liability issues and things. And so we just ask that if you're going to record and things, just do it on public sidewalk.
Okay.
That's totally cool with us, just not on property.
Gotcha. So, all right.
So head that way.
You actually have to get permission from public affairs, but that happening this time of night is probably not going to happen.
Oh, I have a personal relationship with public affairs.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he answers my calls.
Yeah.
But I didn't think to call him this time for some reason. Yeah.
Sorry. So, yeah. So, anyways, just so you guys are
okay.
You guys.
Sure. Hey, have a good night, fellas. All right, so that was quick.
Well, that looks really spectacular.
It's beautiful.
So what's in there?
All kinds of things. Wondrous, mysterious, godly things, Brett. Think the secrets of the universe.
Did you need me to be able to go? Now, were you going to try and walk through that gate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the goal. And if we put the cameras down, we can. And maybe we should. And then maybe come back and return and report to our friends here on Facebook Land and the podcast. We can go in there if you want to see it.
Well, sure. I mean, let's walk the. Can we walk the sidewalk?
Yeah,
here
yeah, yeah. Let's continue our conversation
a little bit.
Yeah, and then we'll make our way back in and we'll put the mics away for a minute and see if they have a dress code.
Sure. Absolutely.
So the right and wrong, a higher sense of right and wrong. It sounds to me like you believe in God. You just might call him by a different name, or her, or it. Or the intersectional God.
Now,
whatever.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, it sounds like you've prayed before. You believe in these higher principles. And Brett, that's what we like to call Heavenly Father.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And our Heavenly Father loves us very much, and he has a plan for us.
I think this probably would have been easier case to make from inside these walls, but I'll... Right? Because that's where you were hoping the magic would happen.
Yeah. But I was hoping you'd feel the Spirit more in there. Like, you can still, there's still, Mormons, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. There's still some spirit out here on the sidewalk, but it's been corrupted by all the homeless people.
Yeah, there did seem to be quite a few.
They've kicked a lot of them out.
Those are iPhone
X. Right.
No, there was a few before that, or they were, like, right
there
on the line.
Homeless people disguised as people waiting for the iPhone X.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, this is the Lord's Mall, Brett, right here.
Yeah.
The Lord's very proud of it. And you know that part where Jesus kicked the people out of the temple, the money changers?
Mm-hmm.
That was a typo.
That happened here?
No, that was a typo. That was what we call an allegory. You know, the Lord actually loves money, as you can see by the Lord's luxury condo high rise right here. Show our people the Lord's luxury condo high rise.
Now, what is that?
It's a luxury condo high rise that was built by basically Jesus by the church.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe we'll get to this. What is the Mormons' relationship with Jesus? Jesus came to America.
The Mormons are very close with Jesus.
Okay.
You should know this. Mormons are so close with Jesus. It's more like Jesus is so close with the Mormons. This is his church. And all the other churches are fake. I hate to break it to you, especially the Catholic Church.
Oh, definitely. And
in fact, we Mormons like to refer to the Catholic Church, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
As the great and abominable whore of all the earth.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did Jesus come to be involved with Joseph Smith?
Well, Jesus came to Joseph Smith one day. So Joseph Smith was dropping some shrooms out in the
forest. Oh, by the way,
like
we're probably being watched with video and maybe even audio surveillance.
Which is why we're on the sidewalk.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. I was just curious. All right.
Yeah, we are definitely being
Will those
watched.
Men be not as nice the second time?
They were really nice that
they were
first
really,
time.
Well, Mormons, I think, are lovely people. They're all super nice.
I love my people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll be a degree less nice this time, which is still like 10 times nicer than the nicest person on the East Coast.
Right. Okay.
You're going to be okay. Before Brett before Brett came, I talked to him on the phone. I'm like, hey, you in the mood to do something adventurous? I didn't tell him exactly what we were doing. And he's like, are we going to get arrested? That was his big concern.
Yeah, I can't get arrested because I got to be moving on.
Yeah, know? Yeah. this would make a fantastic news story, though. and we know all the news.
Oh, yeah, a news story would be good for the tour.
It would.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brett.
Arrested
libertarian for... podcaster. Arrested with cross-dressing Mormon anarchist.
On for trespassing.
On
yeah.
And blaspheming a little
oh,
bit.
We don't want to get arrested for trespassing. That's
no,
not good.
No.
Right.
But we're good right here. This is public.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, back to your spirituality, Brett.
Yeah.
You've been talking a lot about Jesus. What's your relationship with Jesus?
I never really had one. Right. I never really felt connected. The things that they told us that he did in the Catholic Church made no fucking sense.
Tonight's your night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Brett, remind me of, or let's go back to that time when you went to confession.
Okay. I was 7, 8 years old.
Yeah. Did you feel kind of bad that you'd done that thing?
At the time, well, I was, I don't know if
did
it
you
was
have any
actually,
guilt?
No, it wasn't guilt. It was fear.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's different. Do you have any guilt about anything?
Oh, sure, in my life, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
You don't have to tell us all the things you've done, but, you know. So guilt, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our Heavenly Father loves us so much, He's provided a way for you to overcome your guilt.
Okay. Well, that's good. Cause...
Yeah, and it only costs you 10% of your income. And this place is manufactured to cure you of your guilt.
This whole place, this whole complex?
Well, yes.
Okay.
And that mall. Do you think shopping at the mall cures you of your guilt? Probably.
All right. 10% of your income.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
Oh, plus fast offerings. You get to starve once a month and donate the money from that to the poor. We have a pretty cool religion, huh?
Well, don't... how long do you fast for?
A whole day.
Oh, that's good. That's probably
yeah,
good.
To, healthy.
Yeah, a good cleanse.
Yeah, yeah.
So wait, I have a question, though.
Yeah.
If you absolve all guilt through the 10% tithe... Right.
And telling your bishop about every time you masturbate.
The first one, on the first one.
Yeah.
Does that mean you can do anything that you want that would typically make a person feel guilty as long as you're kicking in the 10%?
Well, yeah, you're going to have to repent still, which means you tell your bishop about all the times you do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But pay your tithing.
Okay.
And the Lord forgives you.
No matter what.
Yeah. The Lord loves you that much.
As long as the 10% is there.
Yes.
You can do whatever you want.
Pretty much.
That's attractive, right?
Yeah.
That probably is attractive
it's
to a lot of
people. It's a
pretty
decent deal.
Okay, so yeah. Are there any tax breaks here in Utah kind of offset the 10%?
I'm glad you brought up the taxes. That's going to be 10% of your gross, not net, if you really want to please the Lord. So it's probably more like 19% of your income. But no, don't worry about that so much because, look, we're talking about, you know, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And 19% of your income plus some starving once a month and telling your bishop about every little indiscretion you've done during the week in the shower. Small price to pay.
Well, add the 30 that you save on food on the fasting day back to the 19% that you lose, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm trying to make the case
hey,
here.
Hey, little Mormon hack for you. Once you're Mormon, on the day that you're fasting, that's the day you are going to eat ramen. Mormons, that you donate the value of the meal that you would have eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And so since ramen is like 25 cents a package, you just tell Jesus, look, I was going to have ramen for breakfast and lunch and dinner.
And you die.
So, once a month. You know, it's ramen day. You did it in college. I did it in college.
Mm. Yeah, maybe yeah. Once a day. You'd dehydrate if you ate it 3 times a day.
Yeah.
You'd have
yeah.
to go to the hospital.
But this is how you get by on 75 cents a day of a month of fast offerings as a Mormon. You save those roast beef dinners for another day. Tell Jesus, hey, this is not your day for me to be fast offering.
So
you save the prime rib for another day.
The needy get at most a dollar as a result of fasting day.
When I'm doing it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. I've hacked this religion.
But you're really saving. See, what I'm saying, though, is you're really saving like $30 on what you would have spent on food. So add that back.
Yeah, yeah. Brett, name another religion that can save you this much money on food. So
what I...
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, okay.
Let's say if I've kept making a couple more good points, would you consider getting baptized?
Yeah.
All right, good, good. Good answer. All right. All the way under the water, though. Not like you half-assed Catholics with, like, little sprinkle.
Okay.
But as far as you're concerned, your first baptism, it's going to be all the way under the water, my friend.
Until I almost drown.
Yeah.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah, if it's worth it. I mean,
it's totally worth it. It's your soul.
Now, who are these people? There's people coming.
Tourists.
Oh, they're just tourists. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, they don't have cameras.
That didn't get kicked out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. They gave us a long stare, too.
They did. I don't know why.
They might be. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So you have a family.
I do.
Obviously. You came from parents.
Two parents. Two younger brothers.
How do you feel about your parents these days?
I think they're lovely people.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Will you be sad when they die?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Why?
Well, I'll miss them. You know, I appreciate having them in my life. Mm-hmm. They've both done a lot for me. Keep moving.
Yeah, just a little bit. I just want to get a little bit better view of the temple here because I'm about to give you some very moving emotional information about the temple and your parents, Brett.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so when they die, you're going to be sad?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if they die at the same time. Jesus.
So here's the deal. In addition to being the best religion in terms of food savings, we have another plan for you to still be with mom and dad after they die. How does that sound?
On Earth.
No.
Oh. I mean, so do I have to die?
Yeah.
At the same time?
You could.
Okay, but...
If you're impatient.
But I could be with them after I die.
Yes.
Even if it was like 40 years later.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear about that.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have any kids?
Nope.
All right.
Dog? Wait, do I have to be with them all the time, though? Like,
Brett, you get to be with them all the time.
Okay.
For eternity.
Okay.
It's like being 11 forever.
All right. Yeah, let's hear about it. How does this
work? Did you like being 11?
It wasn't bad.
I fucking hated it.
Oh, well, the school part I didn't like. There was still some church. I felt like I didn't have as much freedom as I enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
But there were benefits, too. You know, there's nowhere for somebody my age to play baseball, you know?
Well.
When you're 11, there's, like, all kinds of opportunities. So.
How do you feel about being married someday?
I like the idea if I found the right woman.
Why? What do you like about it?
I like the idea of growing old with somebody, growing together with somebody, having a family with somebody. That's all appealing to me.
What if I told you you could not only grow old with somebody, but grow old forever with her?
Like beyond the end of my life?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Like you can't get away from her.
Oh, well, you know, then there is the challenge of monogamy, right? Like, are we really...
Oh, Brett. I'm so glad you brought up the challenge of monogamy.
Oh!
But hold on. We'll get to that in just a second, okay?
But...
Oh.
Okay, well...
Oh, so this is going so well.
So
he's
going to
join. He's a perfect Mormon. He loves this already, I can tell. Anyway, yeah? I want to talk about you and your first wife.
Okay.
You get to be with her together forever and your parents. It'll be like... living with your parents in their basement through all eternity.
How much space do we have?
All of it. It's an eternal mansion. You know when Jesus was saying, I'm building mansions for you in my Father's kingdom or some
stuff like that? Definitely.
Yeah, he's a carpenter, right?
Yep.
Remember, Jesus was a carpenter. He's a contractor. So is his dad. They're up there building huge basements in your parents' house for you to live in forever.
Okay.
And... let's say you and your sweetheart have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then those kids are going to live in your basement forever. If they're worthy. Only if they're good. If they're shits, then they're going to go to hell and you're all going to be really sad. But we'll talk about that later.
Well, so it's just basement under basement under basement.
Yes. Yes.
Generation after generation.
Yes. We have a religion of basements.
Okay.
Yeah. The temple has a wonderful basement.
Have you been in that building?
Yes. Many times.
What were the circumstances that brought you in there?
Well, the last time I was in there, it was kind of an accident. I was shooting the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Okay.
And I accidentally followed them through the secret underground tunnels from the concert hall across the street into the baptistry where we baptize your dead grandparents. Which is a different...
Dead grandparents?
Everyone's.
Okay.
Everyone's. I mean, but we'll get to that later, okay? Let's get back to your fourth and your fifth wife, okay? Yeah.
What happened to the second and the third?
The problems of monogamy, Brett, we Mormons have solved that.
Yeah, but the first wife is still there as I add a second and a third?
Yep.
Okay. Well, the problem of monogamy is you might want to get away from the first.
Well, here's the deal.
Okay.
In eternity, you can get away from her because it's very spacious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. That's space is...
But you don't get away from her, though. You're still married to her. Like, you still have a contract with her. Like, you still have to be nice to her.
Mm-hmm. No, she has to be monogamous to me?
Correct.
Okay. So
only one of you and, like, 30 of them.
Not 30. Nobody could do 30.
Well, Brigham Young had 35, I think. In fact, little pitch here. So Steve Conlon, that's filming right here,
mm-hmm.
his company also makes a gin called Madame Paterini Gin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was named after Brigham Young's 35th son named Morris, who was a cross-dressing opera singer that went by the name Madame Paterini. And he'd tour all around Utah and sing, and nobody knew he was a dude. So Brigham had like over 35 kids.
At least.
Yeah, and he had a lot of wives. So we're kind of like, look, here's the thing, Brett. Mormons, we bring you everything you love about Catholicism and Islam.
Oh.
Like the 70 virgins.
Now, does a man get any counsel inside the church on how to manage that many wives? Like 35 is kind of like the stuff of legends.
Yeah,
like
they
most
do.
Guys would probably have four.
It's
three.
Really easy.
Okay.
Mormon marriage counseling,
mm-hmm.
you just do whatever she wants.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're only one man, and if there could be like three or four she's. What if they conflict?
They will. But you'll be, by then, you're going to be a perfected being, Brett. You will also be a god, a man of eternal patience.
Does adding wives help? I think it would be like a gymnasium for one's patience.
Yes.
To strengthen
it. And one's penis.
Yeah, indeed. Now, you're expected to have relations with these women?
Expected? Yeah. You get to populate your own planets, Brett. See, now we get into the astronomy part of being a Mormon. It's pretty awesome. You get to have your own planet. If you keep paying that 10%, though.
For how long?
Until you die.
Okay.
Yeah.
But isn't this kind of like an eternal situation?
The planet thing?
Well, yeah, the planet is. All right, so your earthly income is what the 10% comes from.
Right.
But after that, you wouldn't be obligated to.
Yeah, there's no money up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that works. So like Star Trek.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. A lot like Star Trek.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, where were we at? I'm sorry. There's lots of moving pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Here.
Okay. So, can we talk about something maybe even a little more intimate?
Yeah, sure.
Brett, what kind of underwear do you like?
Boxers.
Oh, you are in luck.
Okay.
We love boxers too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Steve, you might want to show them. I'm not wearing my garments tonight. I'm not. I'm sometimes not a very obedient Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a liberal Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to that in a second because that is a very controversial topic.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you feeling so far about the idea of getting baptized? Have I talked you any closer into it?
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would be too if I were you.
Okay.
Yeah, with the food savings, the living in your parents' basement for eternity,
mm-hmm.
your kids living in your basement for eternity. I mean, name another religion that offers that.
None.
Correct.
That I've heard about. But I mean, I'm not very, like, this is my first time even across the country, so I can't say very worldly.
Well, if you find another religion offers those things, you let me know.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
You like boxer underwear?
I do. Yeah, I prefer it.
Well,
you know, before my trip, I went and I got some brief style, boxer brief style.
How low do they go?
Like here.
Yeah. How'd you feel if they went down to here?
Even better.
Even better?
I don't know.
Even better. But, do you wear undershirts?
I do.
Oh, Brett. You're a shoe-in for being a Mormon, dude.
Can they say
dude.
Something on it? This one says
oh, they'll
New
say
York
something.
Okay.
Okay, here's the thing, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
When you become a Mormon, you get to wear our special undershirts and boxer underwear.
And where do you get these? You get them here at the mall.
No. Well, they don't sell them at this mall,
mm-hmm.
but the church makes them for you. And you buy them from the church, and they have little Masonic inscriptions on them. Very beautiful.
Okay,
very beautiful.
But all right, so what's the reasoning behind this?
To protect you from Satan's temptations.
A t-shirt.
And ugly underwear.
Right, yeah.
The idea is to make it harder to get laid. I also have cracked that code. It's not harder. Actually.
Why do you want it to be harder to get laid if you're trying to propagate a new religion?
Well, let's say right now, Brett.
Okay.
See, right now you're a single guy. You're a single guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, harder to get laid now without
right
the
now.
Wives.
Okay. Yeah, and here's the thing. Now, I've given you a lot of the upsides to Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to be a little tough. But I want you to have some faith for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about those eternal principles, there are certain things that are always right and wrong, like killing people. You believe in the non-aggression principle?
I think killing people killing somebody, like initiating that.
Initiating,
you know,
yeah.
Like you might have to kill somebody in self-defense.
Sure.
I'm not a pacifist.
We're not either
sure.
in that regard.
Okay.
Yeah, we stole this land from Mexico.
Yeah.
We believe in killing for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Kill some Indians.
Right.
For the
Make
Lord.
Make them look like the aggressor.
Yeah, for the Lord.
Kill anyone
Lord.
You want.
Definitely. But what I'm getting at is there's this other kind of aggression that we ask you not to do until you get married, and that is aggressing on a woman's vagina.
Okay.
You can't do that.
Or on your own penis.
Yeah, yeah, you really shouldn't be doing that either. You'll have to talk to your bishop about every time you aggress on yourself.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
There are a lot of them.
Go talk to my bishop.
Okay. So,
sorry.
So, you're going to have to, along with all these benefits, you're going to have to withhold and our special underwear make it harder for you to get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good call. Yeah, they make it harder. They make it harder for you to get laid because you look really stupid in them.
How stupid?
Like real dumb. Like imagine it's like the undershirt, no big deal. It's just white t-shirt.
Is it a V-neck?
You can get them and mesh material and like lots of fabric options. And if you're in the military, you
but
can
it
get,
has something on it. It's yeah, the thing that it has
little,
on it.
Little Masonic symbols. They're very inspiring. They remind you to choose the right all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, but here's the deal. The underwear are the lady boner killers.
Okay.
Yeah, like when you're on one of those hot dates with one of those Catholic girls, because back in New Hampshire, you probably aren't going to be dating a lot of Mormon chicks.
No. You're Catholic.
Just Catholic girls. So
right.
We know how Catholic schoolgirls are.
They like to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once they're out of Catholic school.
And why should they stop in college or after college or in their 30s?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why should a marriage stop them from what they've liked to do since they were 16?
For sure.
Right.
So our magical underwear help you from stay true to the faith.
What if you just like, all right, so let's say things are getting going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you undo your pants, right?
Yeah.
And then like, You're kind of trying to hack this thing, right? Because you've had a couple experiences where the pants come down, there's the underwear, the girl's not interested anymore. So you've developed this move where pants and underwear, one
at
move.
At the same time.
One stroke.
And then she never sees. All she knows is that they're white.
She knows that they're white.
So you're a white underwear kind of fella, huh?
Right, yeah.
And if she's hating on you for wearing white, then you don't really need her anyway.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
She wasn't really worthy of your love.
But this move must exist. This must be a hack. Yeah.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. experienced Mormons have a move, this mutual recognition move. When two Mormons are fornicating before they get married, they both just sort of ignore each other's awkwardness about their undies, you know. They're like Mormon underoos. So we're focusing a lot on the underwear right now. You seem like you're okay with the underwear, though.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing? They're bulletproof.
Like if someone shot at you.
Yeah, as long as you're living worthy. As long as you're not masturbating and you're paying your tithing.
Oh, this is how we find out that everyone actually masturbates, because bullets kill them.
Yep, and when they get in car crashes, they're supposed to protect you from the fire, but only happens once in a while.
Okay.
Most of the time people die, but it's because most people are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have it in you, Brett. I think you have it in you.
What's the next step?
Well, you know, you've already committed to baptism, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read the Book of Mormon?
No. That's the religious text?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if you read it so that in church you could have informed things to say.
There's like a theatrical version, isn't there?
There is. Okay. It was wonderful.
All right.
It was wonderful. You should see it. It's very accurate.
Why is this wall so high here?
So this wall is to keep us out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This wall is hollow. There are secret passageways in this wall.
You've been in them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Where do they go?
Underground. Everything around here, it's all under. There's tunnels leading everywhere. There's underground complexes
like
all over the
place. Like the goddamn Denver airport.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. The Illuminati would be proud.
But you're kind of hinting, you've dropped this hint a couple times, that there's some occult symbolism going on here. Is there an occult aspect to this?
It depends on if you want to use that as a pejorative.
No, I don't. I'm interested in
then
getting
totally,
into secret societies
then
where
absolutely very occult.
There's
super.
Like an exoteric, you know, face, but there's a, you know, an esoteric inner core that I could work my way into by making the right friends.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, how do I get into the tunnels? That would be...
Oh, the tunnels.
I wouldn't say that, like, at the baptism, but that's what I'd be thinking. How do I get into the underground
tunnels?
Yeah.
You don't want them thinking you're getting in for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Yeah. So if you want access to those tunnels, I would suggest we get you baptized right away.
Where do we go to do that?
Well...
We can't probably do it at this hour.
No, we need a pool.
Okay.
A swimming pool. Hey, Steve has one at his house. We could baptize you tonight, Brett.
All right. So then, now, like, usually, what's the commitment? What if I get baptized and then I decide this isn't for me?
Okay.
So 30 day?
Well, this is the bad part.
Okay.
You become what's called the son of perdition,
mm-hmm.
which means one level lower than hell.
This is a place.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens
outer
there?
Darkness, nothing. Just suffering.
Just suffering.
In the dark forever. There's not even any fire so you can see Lucifer or anything like that. It's just outer darkness.
And this is beneath the ground?
It's out there. It's...
We always think about hell.
It's over there. It's in that building, for sure.
In Christianity, yeah. we think about hell being underneath the ground,
yes.
you know, like inside the earth. And, you know, this like, ever-descending basement thing with the offspring.
Yeah, that's up there. So that ever-descending basement thing...
is in space.
Well, yeah, because, see, God that we pray to has a planet, and it's called... Had to wait for that truck to pass. So God's planet is called Kolob. That's what he named it.
Are you confusing this with Scientology, or both religions have gods with planets?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, they copied us.
Of course. They're you guys, you guys were here first.
Totally, we were.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what God called his. So you might want to think about which one to name your planet.
What does the average human Mormon know about Kolob?
That it exists, and that's it.
What do you know about God? Is he the father of Jesus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And oh, this is another fun part. So God has a wife?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Heavenly Mother. Name another religion that will openly talk about Heavenly Mother.
None.
Exactly.
God is never married.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have this theory. Can we kind of go off script here for a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right, church. All right. I'm glad we're outside of the walls of the church, because I'm about to drop some special knowledge on you that the Lord himself revealed to me. And the rest of the church isn't quite ready for this. And I'm pretty sure that no one that's watching right now will tell on me. But here's what I've learned. God is divorced.
What?
Yeah, God's a divorced guy, okay? He's divorced. And the reason we don't talk about Heavenly Mother is because there's been a restraining order. There's a court order in place. He's not allowed to talk shit on her to his children.
And but when did this happen?
If you'll stop and listen to your heart for a minute, you'll feel the truth of it. Happened a long time ago.
Does Jesus know this?
Well, I think Jesus was one of their kids.
Okay.
You know?
They have other kids. Jesus has siblings.
Jesus has a brother.
Okay.
Lucifer. Beelzebub, Prince of Darkness, His Infernal Majesty.
Is that how it is in Christianity? No, they're not brothers.
They're brothers. Yeah. They're brothers. Are you okay with that? Is that...
I'm not.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Shocking.
Oh,
but...
fuck. What are we going to... No, man, I had to go telling him about the Satan thing. Now he's all derailed from getting baptized.
No, I mean, it's upsetting. I'm not saying, like, I want to know everything there is to know.
Well, they have another brother. Well, this is where it gets a little vague, okay? So Adam, as in Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
No one really wants to talk about who Adam's dad actually is. So do your own math on that one.
Yeah, because that's never sufficiently explained.
Nope.
In the Christian Bible.
Nope.
So how do Mormons find this out?
We pray. See, this is another great thing about Mormonism, Brett. If you have a question, you can do like Joseph Smith did and eat a whole bunch of mushrooms and go into the forest by yourself and pray and ask God. And God will give you the knowledge that you seek.
Does he give it to you
liberally,
like,
and
on something that you can remember?
Well, sometimes, you know... stone tablets, you know.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Moses has shitty memory.
Right.
You know, one of our prophets. I'm going to wait for this train to go by. It's pretty noisy. You would think the Lord could get some quieter trains. You know, the noisiness of those trains, I think, is a symbol of how God lets bad things happen to good people.
Mm-hmm. As a kind of way for them to test their faith.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So as far as helping you remember this stuff, well, that's what the Book of Mormon's for.
Okay.
Book of Mormon's there to help you remember a lot of stuff.
But didn't Joseph Smith get like gold tablets or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, he did. He did. I wouldn't necessarily expect any gold tablets. I don't want to set the bar too high. I know I've promised a lot of things to you tonight
mm-hmm.
with this Mormon thing. Although...
Most of what Joseph Smith got on the tablets is covered in the book.
Look, you're an ambitious guy.
Yeah.
Okay. There are some lost pages that Joseph Smith translated from the Book of Mormon, 116 mm-hmm. pages, they got lost. Brett, if you found the lost 116 pages, you would be a fucking Mormon hero.
So this is something that Mormons are looking for?
Yes.
Where do they look?
All over the place. There are people who claim to have found them. I think they're false prophets, though. So if you're obedient enough, maybe, you know, you could be a prophet.
Okay.
And, like, rise up through the ranks of this. We can't see the church, the temple anymore.
Well, no, there's the wall. There's the living complex.
Well, we can see them all. That's pretty nice still.
So who lives there? Mormons?
You know, John Huntsman Jr. lives up there. Rich Mormons.
Rich Mormons.
That's where the rich Mormons live, yeah.
Okay.
And so in Mormonism, we have this...
what is that at the top where it's all illuminated?
It's just pretty.
Yeah?
It's a thing to remind us.
I picture it being a ballroom.
That the up there, that is a reminder to us that if you're really, really extra righteous, God will make you rich. And if you're not rich, it's because you're not righteous enough.
Now, we can't go in that building.
Well, I mean, if we knew somebody, maybe we could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of creepy how dark the building is. Like, there's hardly any lights on.
Right, not a lot of people are home.
Where are they on a Thursday night?
Well, they're probably in other parts of the country in one of their other homes.
Oh. This is just like for when they come here.
Yes.
Oh.
So we've got to deal with the Satan thing. That was a little tough.
Yeah. I didn't know they were brothers. It's like something you would see in a soap opera.
It's like dating a girl and you really, really, really like her, you know, and mm-hmm. then you find out, you know, that like her dad is like a serial killer. You're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. Oh,
right.
I don't know if I just kind of killed my boss.
Well, is the dad in jail? I mean, it depends.
No.
He's
on
home.
The loose.
He's just a.
And they
he's on the loose. Right.
At home, yeah.
He lives at home.
Yeah.
He's on the couch.
Yeah.
Just cleaning knives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would be a problem. If he was in jail.
Is it like that?
It's not that bad. No, it's not that bad. It's just, it's shocking. It's shocking. It's something that I think could be overcome.
Back to our part two of this fine live video.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, in the first part of the video, I shared a lot of the features and benefits of Mormonism with you.
Mm-hmm.
And for those... Oh, yeah. Okay. And for those of you who are watching, we're outside of the wall of Mormonism right now. The big Mormon wall. Yeah.
This isn't... I mean, it's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, this is a nice-looking block right here.
Right? Yeah? Yeah. So that's another part of the Lord's mall.
What's that Greek style building?
That's part of it. That was called ZCMI. That was the church's first mall, called Zion's something Mercantile Association. Zion. Oh shit! What was that? Zion. Oh yeah, yeah. Zion's Cooperative Mercantile. Yeah.
Is this Joseph Smith here?
I think this is Brigham Young.
Okay.
Yeah, right up here, saying, this is the place.
Send all your money over there.
Yep, put your money over here. We'll spend it over there.
Now, what's his relationship to Joseph Smith?
Well, you see, after Joseph Smith got killed for Joseph Smith got killed for banging too many people's wives.
What?
Yeah. So
he couldn't get his own?
Oh, he had plenty of his own. But he liked others, too. Joseph Smith had a voracious appetite for the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And it got him into some trouble. And so he got killed for it, and also destroying a printing press and running for president, and he a lot of things. But I think ultimately, it was the ladies.
Yeah. He was killed by an angry husband.
I think a series of them.
Okay.
Yeah. An angry mob of husbands, yes. They're turning the sprinklers on because it's November. And we need to
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
They are fucking turning on the sprinklers.
Why would they do that?
Because...
And look, they're spraying all over the sidewalk. Are they? It is kind of misting on the sidewalk there.
Wow, that was effective.
I don't feel terribly welcome.
No. All right, we're going to keep going towards the Lord's Hotel and conference
center. Wow, look at this place.
Yeah. The Lord also has a few restaurants up there, quite good.
Now, I could see how a person would get into this. They come here.
Yeah.
They say Lord's Mall, Lord's Hotel.
You should see the Lord's concert halls. Oh.
They're called that. The Lord's.
Well,
no.
I mean,
they have
not many people. Look, not many people acknowledge the Lord as well as I do.
Yeah, okay.
But they do belong to him, yes.
Now, all those people were dressed in black.
Yeah.
Was that a thing?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We just can't go.
Wow.
Out. Yeah. See, there's a statue of Joseph Smith.
Oh.
Right, right. Hey, this is a nice little spot.
I mean, look at those chandeliers.
Oh, yeah.
Where does this money come from?
From your 19%.
How many Mormons are there, though?
Oh, there's like 14 million.
That doesn't seem like enough, even just for this building. Is that marble?
Yes, all of it.
Do you know how many? I mean, how many? There's like 8 of those.
Yeah.
And that's just inside. Like, yeah. Step back. This is a whole building.
Yeah. It's huge.
So 14 million times whatever the 20% is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the church also...
of course, when was this built? I mean, it obviously, like, the real estate costs have been inflated.
Right. But even so, there were fewer Mormons back then, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So it still begs the question. It's a good question. But the church also has some really nifty businesses, you know?
Oh, like, okay.
Investments. They own 10% of Florida.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, literally.
So it's like, yeah, there's a legit aspect to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Real estate.
Real estate.
Real estate. Yeah. I mean, Mormons have a lot in common with Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all about making money.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Well, I mean, as a new religion, it's good to, like, look at the existing religions and say, what are people doing well?
Indeed.
So you go to Christians, right? You say, Jesus.
He's got the Jesus thing down.
You go to Islam and you say, polygamy.
70 right? virgins in heaven.
That attracts the guys.
Wonderful.
The breadwinners.
Yes.
The tithe givers. You go to the Jews, you say, let's get that money.
Attracts right? the ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the best of all the Abrahamic religions rolled into one.
I think you said it best, Brett. It is the best of all Abrahamic religions rolled into one.
Okay.
Indeed. See, you're gaining your own testimony right now.
Gaining my own testimony.
Yeah.
That means I'm convincing myself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then what happens next?
Well, now you have to feed your testimony every day by reading our propaganda and reminding yourself that it's true.
The Book of Mormon.
Yes.
So,
but mostly things like the videos we put online and...
is there a YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mostly just come to church and dress like everyone. And, I mean, you can read the book. You can, but...
they don't recommend it?
No, they do. They tell you to. But no one's going to be mad if you don't.
Okay.
I mean, like, if you're not asking too many hard questions, no one's going to be mad.
All right. Well, how does it open? Like, what's the hook in the book? Like, how do they get you?
Oh, the hook?
Yeah. Chapter 1.
Chapter 1. Here's how it starts out. There's some Jews cruising around. God's like, you got to get the hell out of here. You're in Israel, right? Or Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
This place sucks. I want you to go to America because I like America better than all the other dirt on this planet.
What year was this?
600 BC.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That sounds
600 BC.
Sounds
God's like, you know what? This place blows. I have this one continent that I like better than all the other places. It's called America.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to pack your family up. Get a copy of the scriptures before you leave. These are on brass plates, though, this time, mind you, okay? Because back then they just had, like, basically the Torah, you know, like the Pentateuch, you know, like, and so they had to get a copy of them, and there was this only a one dude that had a copy of them, because they're very expensive. His name's Laban.
Mm-hmm.
So the first prophet of the Book of Mormon, Nephi, God says, Nephi, you got to go kill Laban for the scriptures.
To get them, right.
Oh, yeah. So he does. They go get Laban drunk. And then they cut his head off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. Like, yeah.
Name another book of scripture that's that action-packed, Brett.
Well, it's like something you'd see on The Sopranos. First
chapter. Right?
Right.
First
yeah.
chapter.
First chapter.
And then after that, it's just blood, 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 death, destruction, wars, more blood, blood, racism, blood, more racism, destruction. Jesus shows up for like 3 or 4 chapters. Then more blood, 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 destruction, death,
Jesus
desolation.
Shows up where?
3/4 of the way through.
Yeah, but where in geographically?
Oh, where geographically?
So, because here's the thing.
Very close to here.
Okay, because outsiders yeah. say they think Jesus was in America,
uh-huh.
and I didn't know if that was something yeah. that non-Mormons did to deride Mormons by saying, but that's true.
Yeah, it's totally true. And when you read about it, you'll feel it in your heart.
Well, tell me a little bit about like how we got here. Or...
well, Jesus can travel through time and space.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, how do you think he got out of the tomb, dude?
Right.
I mean, Jesus was pretty buff, but not that buff.
Right, to move the, because there was a rock.
A big one.
In front of the door.
Yeah, and imagine if you'd been dead for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be kind of stiff. You'd be like, oh, man, like, imagine, like, when you're kind of hungover. And, like, even making coffee the next morning, a little rough.
You'd be dehydrated.
Yeah. He was probably super dehydrated. But the thing is, he's kind of like an alien. You know, he can travel through time and space now that he's resurrected. So he just got the hell out of there, out of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over here and he's like, hey.
Utah.
No one's exactly sure, but it was here in America.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely here in America. So he shows up. He's like, hey, I'm going to quote to you some passages from the King James Version of the Bible. So get ready to write this stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
Because later on, Joseph Smith's going to need this.
Okay. And this was like a long time ago. Way before Joseph Smith.
400 AD.
Okay.
Yeah, Book of Mormon covers a thousand
years.
A thousand years of history.
Right. Yeah. And are they pretty like, you know, there was the Romans and they deal with all that?
No.
Okay.
No.
They talk about the Indians.
They are the Indians. And so here's another thing. Okay. Okay. Now I'm glad you brought this up. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the Indians, the American Indians, used to be Jews.
Yeah, they look kind of almost like they were Asian.
The Lord moves in mysterious ways. And what the hell's going on here? All right, little bike ride. Okay. All right, this is fun. All right.
This is great.
Yeah.
I feel like I should just take a quick video myself.
I hope that's okay to do in the middle of a live stream.
Oh, sure.
I am a tourist.
Another thing Salt Lake City loves, hipster fixie bikes.
Oh, this is terrific. This is a sign.
It is. And the it is. It totally is.
Now people are looking at us.
Like,
I thought the flag was rattling kind of ominously right above us. I don't know. That was neat.
Oh, by the way, the Lord has a bank, too. This one.
Zion's Bank.
Yeah.
That sounds official.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're asking how the Lord finances all this fancy stuff through your, savings.
What's going on up there this late at night on a Thursday?
Oh, they're probably planning out their next big mall. They just built one in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Right in the middle of Philadelphia, yeah. They just built a big temple and a shopping center and a luxury high-rise. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Jesus in America.
The Indians are Jews.
The Indians are Jews.
Even though all the DNA evidence says they're Asians.
Right.
That's called a test of your faith.
Like dinosaurs for Christians.
Exactly.
That's like that idea.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Or that. There's another test of faith.
Yeah,
right?
Trains, yeah. That's a very good analogy. Yeah, the Christians and the dinosaurs. For us, it's American Indians are Jews, even though they're not.
Okay.
And we call them Lamanites.
Lamanites.
Yeah. Oh, and here's another thing. Okay, this is going to get a little dicey. If I sound a little racist, can we still be friends?
Yeah.
All right. And if you're a little racist, like if you like this idea, just make it part of your faith. Okay? Like, this is a great faith for people that are subtly racist. So here's the deal.
Oh, yeah. Racism is making a comeback.
It is.
Yeah.
And we've got it nailed down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because here's the deal. Back in the day, when all these Jewish Indians were here, they started fighting, okay? And they split into two groups, and one of them was wicked, and so God cursed them with the dark skin so that the righteous ones would know not to fool around with any of them and don't have sex with any of them.
Okay.
See, God's really into creating boundaries around where you put your wiener. Like, everything from dark skins, funny underwear.
Yeah.
Like, he's always looking out for ways to keep you in the right place.
So God turned people dark?
Yes. The wicked people. He turned them dark to make them unappealing. Have you ever had jungle fever?
Yeah, sure. First, yeah.
Yeah, same here. Mm-hmm. It didn't work, did it?
No.
Because you're super white. I'm super white.
Yeah.
We've liked some black girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like kind of a design flaw.
Right.
No wonder God got divorced. I bet he had some other bad ideas. Anyway,
that's a good point.
So
wait a minute. So
the American Indians,
the black people?
Yes.
Black
they're like Mormon black people. And also.
But what about Africa?
Well, okay. So we got that covered too. This got a little dicey as well. back then, up until 1974, black people couldn't fully participate in the church.
Okay.
Because they were from that cursed race as well. Mark of Cain.
Oh. So how was that solved in 1974?
The church needed to expand in Brazil because they're getting super popular down there, and they needed more of the 19%, 10% after gross income. They need more tithing. Mm. And to get people to pay tithing, they had to offer them all these wonderful incentives I've been telling you about tonight, you know? But unless they could go to the temple, they're going to be like, I'm not paying your dumb tithing. I'm not going to pay something and get nothing in return. So the church is like, all right, fine. The Lord says black people can have the priesthood now.
Smart.
And so now all you black people, now you're eligible to pay us your money too.
You know, who's that famous Mormon who ran for president?
Mitt Romney.
Yeah. I said Matt Ramsey. He said close. When that happened, he cried.
Yeah.
He pulled over his car and cried when he heard the news.
Yeah. Very emotional.
Yeah.
When the Lord wasn't racist anymore.
Right. Interesting.
It'd be like if you had a child that was gay mm-hmm. and came to you one day and said, I'm not a fag anymore, Dad.
Yeah. Exactly. It is like that. So now we probably can't go in this hotel either.
No. They're closed.
Oh, they're closed. It's a hotel.
It used to be a hotel.
Oh.
Now it's a conference center, and and there are restaurants on top of the roof.
Oh.
Very nice ones, yeah.
All right. Now, is this brass? Are these brass plates?
This is probably something legit.
No. Yeah, it's metal.
It's thick. It's not going anywhere. Look, nothing is too good for the Lord, Brett. And when you go inside the temple, you're going to find the most expensive carpet, best paintings, biggest chandeliers.
Right. I mean, if this is any indication.
The finest things that money can buy.
Wow.
Yeah. And you get access to them for one monthly low price of 10% of your gross income plus whatever you were going to spend that one day for food.
No, you get that back.
No.
Plus added back, right? Whatever you're going to spend that one day for food, you do the Mormon hack with the ramen noodles.
Well, it just makes it so you don't have to give that much in fast offerings. You're just like, sorry, I on fast Sundays, that happens to be ramen noodle day at our house. So here's your 75 cents we would have spent on food.
Good God. All right, so there are at least 10 of these marble. Now, how high do they go? Looks like they only go up to, like, the second floor.
It goes a couple stories up.
I mean, geez, that's got to be $100,000 in marble right there.
Yeah.
I mean, more. I don't know. I've never priced out marble.
I haven't either.
That's a wicked rough guess.
Yeah.
Live and marble. This is marble.
All of it. It's
so
everywhere.
You got the 10 columns and then these marble kind of ensconcements on the wall there.
And then there are more rooms all around. Everything's opulent as can be. It's just, it's crazy in there.
Now, what kind of conferences do they have here? Could I have a conference here?
Could
I have a School Sucks meetup here?
Yeah, you could rent a room here.
Okay.
You could rent a conference room. You could get married here. Have your reception here. Here's the other thing. If you were to get married here, everyone would know that you banged your wife before you got married. Because you can't have sex before you get married in the temple. Remember the whole you get to be together with her forever business?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the little, this is the fine print here. We're getting into the fine print. Can't have sex with her. Probably shouldn't even touch her boobs until you get married.
Okay.
Okay. Like, let's say you touch her boobs on your third date.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Maybe.
Second base, third date.
Yeah. Or maybe it goes a little further and they're like, oh, damn it. We're going to want to get married in the temple. You have to go to your bishop and the bishop's like, all right. No boob touching for a year. And then you can get married in the temple so that you can live in your parents' basement in heaven forever.
Don't people just lie and say, I've never touched a... I mean, I think a good policy is first date, like a gentlemanly policy.
Yeah.
First date, first base.
Yeah.
Second date, second base.
Uh-huh.
Third date, third base.
Right.
Both ways. Both people, third base. You know?
Because
there's no second base for a dude to go to. Now, this is good policy,
it's a
woman's
world.
That sounds respectable enough to me, but why wouldn't people who want to get married in the temple just lie about what bases and date numbers?
Because I think as Mormons, we don't learn to have a good poker face.
Okay.
You know, like we're worried about getting caught by Jesus. Oh, and here's the other thing. We're worried that because, you know, the soul lives on forever, and our dead relatives are all around us. Here's something you need to keep in mind. Are your grandparents alive?
Oh, no. They've been dead forever.
All right. Well, next time you're playing with little Brett, they're watching you.
It doesn't seem like something they'd be into. I mean, my grandmother.
I bet eternity gets boring. I mean, you know when you go to like the emergency room and you watch whatever shitty TV is on.
I don't know. I would think they would be on to better things. Like it would be almost like they'd have evolved, you know, to the point where it's like all that time for like introspection.
Yeah,
they wouldn't ever be a day where it's like, I guess I'll watch my grandson beat off today, right? Like it seems like that's the kind of thing you outgrow. It seems like that's almost a criteria for becoming a grandparent in the first place.
To outgrow that?
Yeah.
Do you think you will?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I never want to watch my kids do that.
Kids or grandkids?
Or grandkids. No.
Yeah.
Maybe like fourth cousin twice removed. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, definitely not grandkids. That's like your kids' kids.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah, that's too close.
I mean, I'm not a parent, but think about it, like your kids having kids. That seems gross.
So your grandparents' dead friends are watching you beat off.
I don't know. I mean, but there's no like, it's not like they're going to burst in on me. I'm going to have to deal with them. They're watching me from like some other plane of existence. But wait a minute. Then am I on that plane?
Eventually, you're going to have to meet them. They're going to be like, Brett.
Nah, somebody probably watched them beat off too. Right?
Right?
It's like,
it's the initiation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody watched them do it too. And when you get into heaven, it's that acknowledgement of like, we've all watched each other whack it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
of
us.
Yeah. 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 And so there's a comfort in that.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, let's put our cards on the table.
Yeah. We all have watched each other.
Here and on Earth, Brett, everybody's, you know, trying to play it cool.
And now you get to watch someone. You get to be like us. Now that you're dead, Brett, before you move into your parents' basement, let's go watch some people do things. Who's on your list?
People to watch beat off? I don't know. That is really
we have the internet now.
Yeah.
Oh, another design flaw.
Right.
Oh. See, now you're going to get there and be like, Grandma, Grandpa, like, I did this. It's like all I did while I was alive.
It's like they never get to see me do anything else.
Don't you have anything better for me to do here than that? Like, that's old news. Like,
right. Right. Exactly.
We wore that out a long time ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of pros and cons, right? The marble accoutrement and everything, like, you know, along those lines.
There's a few other things we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
How do you feel about coffee?
I love coffee.
Oh.
But I would say.
Will you drink decaf?
What about like is it caffeine the problem?
We don't know. It's just that the Lord has told us we can't have coffee.
When did he tell people?
He told it to Joseph Smith after him and his friends had a wild party at his house and his wife Emma had to clean up their mess. Then one day he got in a lot of trouble with Emma. She's like, damn it, Joseph. I'm sick of cleaning up your spittoons and your cigar ashes and whatever else you guys spill over the floor. I'm tired of it. And so like any good man, he said, you know, Emma, I'll solve this. Instead of being personally accountable for it and having to admit that he was wrong, he came back and said, Emma, the Lord has told us that we're not going to do any of these things anymore.
Yeah.
He's like the ultimate buck passer.
Cold turkey, though.
Well, we kind of warmed up to it. You know, at first it was called the Word of Wisdom. It still is. And it was like, this is kind of a suggestion. Like, maybe don't drink tea. Maybe don't drink coffee. You know, things like that. But then after a few years, once we got set up here in Salt Lake, then the prophets were like, yeah, we're not drinking any of the good things anymore. No more beer. No more tea. No more coffee.
Soda.
Totally great.
What? Soda?
Oh, yeah. We love soda.
Can you drink Coke?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. In fact, BYU just started selling it, Brett.
BYU.
Yeah. Brigham Young University.
Sells Coke.
Yeah. In their cafeterias now.
All right. So that's new.
So basically, if your caffeine is cold and carbonated, you're good to go.
See, I like coffee. Now, wait a minute. What about green tea?
You know, green tea is totally fine.
I could adjust.
Just no black tea, even though they're the same thing. Okay. We just overcame that objection. Brett's still going to get baptized, I think. How do you feel about medical marijuana or recreational marijuana?
I'm kind of indifferent to it. Somebody gave me pot in Colorado last night,
good.
And I had to give it back because, well, I'll tell you the story really quickly. A gentleman said, oh, he works in the pot business there.
Never give it back again. Always bring it to me.
Well, no, that's what this was the discussion okay. that we had. Now, I'm not a pot smoker. Like, yeah. I don't buy it. But if somebody gave it to me and said, here, you want to smoke? I would smoke.
Yeah.
But I just, I'm not good at obtaining it for myself and smoking it. So okay. this guy gives okay. me a little jar of very scary looking pot. It looked like a monster, right? Like
yeah.
something you'd see in a like a Pixar movie.
Nice. Yeah.
Because I hadn't smoked, you know, when I pot just looked like oregano when I used to smoke.
Yeah.
So and now when I smoke, it's like someone passes me a bowl or someone hands me a joint. So sure. I don't really get to see what it looks like.
Right.
This I get to see, and he gives me two rolling papers. And now I'm staying in Denver last night with a woman and she has a son.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel like because I don't smoke a lot,
yeah.
if I smoked this crazy looking weed, I'd be very, very high and I'd act really, really foolish.
Yeah.
Right. And then I'd be in their place acting this way. And it's like the woman's already trusted me in her home.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to get totally baked and giggle in front of her son. So that seemed wrong to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy said to me, because I, you know, I play this all out loud, out loud while I'm holding the little jar of pot. And he goes, well, you can smoke it tomorrow. I said, well, I have to drive from Denver to Salt Lake City tomorrow. And I know that stretch of highway is not the easiest. You know, you got to be aware
yeah.
through there. And you really don't need to be high. It's kind of like, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't need pot for that. So I gave it back.
Oh.
And he said, and the reason why, was like, why wouldn't you just continue on and smoke it when it was convenient? He said, don't bring it in Utah.
Nope.
He said, you'll go to jail
and
in Utah.
If you're doing anything the least bit wrong as you cross the border, they're watching for you.
Yeah.
The I-80?
Except going 100. That's okay, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
You would
have been fine then.
My top land speed of all time I hit today in Yellow Cat, Utah. 105.
Yellow Cat.
Almost nice. By accident. I was going like 98, and yeah. I didn't even know, right? Because it's like, how could you even tell? And then I just said, oh, I don't think I've ever gone 100, and just stepped on it a little more and went up to 105 and felt nice.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a Mormon, we believe in obeying the laws of land.
Okay.
But we don't really worry about that one.
Speeding?
Yeah.
How could you not speed in this state?
Yeah, I mean, no worries. No worries.
Okay.
On the other hand, things like partaking of medical cannabis.
I would be okay without it.
It's not okay. Like, if you're a Mormon here in Utah, super bad. If you're a medical patient, but you go into a state, like cross over the line of dirt, like yeah. into Nevada, totally okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Because we believe in obeying laws of the land.
Okay, so Utah, right, strict on that, but then it's fine elsewhere. Okay,
yeah.
Obey the laws of the land.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing that religion teaches people.
Yeah.
You know, keep them in line,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Manageable.
I mean, we don't always obey them. We only exist here because we didn't obey the laws of the land, because we wanted to do marriage differently.
Like have multiple wives.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the government, the federal government said, no, you can't do that. And we said, yes, we can. Watch us. So here we are in beautiful Salt Lake City.
What percentage of Mormons do you think are polygamists?
Currently?
Yeah.
Like in the eternal sense, or like actually have multiple wives in their house, or have one wife, but they're actually banging their secretary and their personal assistant and their trainer.
Yeah, that kind of a... Well, how many men are married to more than one woman?
Well, okay. A lot, because here's the deal. Let's say we baptize you tonight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You become a Mormon, and you meet a charming BYU grad.
Yeah, okay.
All right? And you... Huh? Okay. And you want to get married? And you get married, and then in a couple of years, she has cancer, and she dies.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only like... How old are you now? Like
40. 30?
You're 40? Oh, dude, you got so many years left
on
you.
But wait, can I marry a girl right out of college who's 22?
Oh, yes. Now, should you? No. But you can.
All right.
Joseph Smith married girls that were like 14. So it's okay.
Because 22 seems young.
We're okay with the young thing. I got married when I was 21.
Really?
Yeah. Look how it worked out for me.
How old are you now?
41.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So.
What did I miss?
That's how it worked out for me.
All right.
Yeah. But here's the thing. So let's say your sweet little new wife dies in a couple years,
mm-hmm.
and you're like 44, and you're like...
She gets hit by one of those
Right. She gets
trains.
Hit by one of our trains, one of
yeah.
our Mormon trains. And you're like, dude, I still want a wife. I'm lonely. I'm still a young buck.
Right.
You can get married again, Brett.
Okay.
And now you have your second wife. Okay? So first wife is waiting for you in heaven. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Second wife is here with you now. Okay? And in a conservative case situation, you both die, and then you go there, and she meets you there, and you're like, now you got your two wives.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's say wife number two, I don't know, dies of, let's mix it up, suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide, because you're hard to live with.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Steve brings up a good point.
Okay.
Oh, what? Man, I'm glad Steve watches out for me. If she commits suicide, she's committed one of the great sins.
So she disappears?
She's going to go to hell.
Oh.
But this opens up another slot for you. Well, you actually have unlimited slots. So let's go back to our scenario here. Wife number two also dies of, diabetes. Okay? Mm-hmm. Dies of diabetes. All right. And you're like, I'm only 51. I want to have family 2.0.
Yeah,
3.0. You can totally do it, man. You can go meet some hot 27-year-old, something that has a thing for silver
foxes. I could
just
hang outside the university and wait for my wives to die.
You totally could.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wife number three. So now you – and let's say she's righteous and you die together. You know, now you got three wives in heaven. And you could see how you could perpetuate this to, like, a lot of wives. As long as you can get them to die.
Without suicide.
Righteously, yes.
So there's a little game in that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we've been doing this for we're at an hour and 15. Yeah.
This whole thing has only been that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. We're pretty efficient.
We've covered a lot of the features and benefits of Mormonism, but there's one last thing I really want to share with you.
Okay.
Do you how into like sci-fi are you? Like
pretty into
like,
it.
Like maybe like superhero stuff?
I liked Babylon 5. Right. I liked Farscape. Star Trek, you know,
let's think maybe not necessarily like sci-fi, but maybe more like superheroes, you know, like DC Comics, things like that.
Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Batman. That? Yeah, I like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
Well,
now, I didn't think Ben Affleck was terrible as Batman.
Guess what?
What?
As a Mormon?
Yeah.
You get magical powers. You get to be magic.
All right. All right.
Hi there. So, hey, what are we recording? We are recording a podcast right now.
No, you are not.
We are, yeah. And we're on Facebook Live right now. Yeah.
Hi, Facebook Live.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
famous. I love this.
Thank you.
Those legs.
Thank you. See another one of the Lord's
magic powers.
Magic powers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you get what's called the priesthood of God.
Okay.
And this allows you to do things like heal people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you concentrate real hard and you don't brag about it too much and you've paid all your tithing and you haven't played with little Brett too much, bring people back from the dead.
Yeah. Bring people back from the dead.
Yeah. I mean, don't talk too much about bringing people back from the dead thing. That's a real hard trick to pull off.
Have people done it?
My great-great-grandfather did it, yeah.
Right. And where did he learn it?
From Brigham Young.
It'd be funny if somebody asked that question and then the person said, not from a Jedi.
No. It's right. Like being a Jedi.
You know, no, because remember the scene from Revenge of the Sith? That's kind of how he gets Anakin, you know, on his side.
Yeah.
How Palpatine gets Anakin on his side. He says, because he's having these visions that the Padme is going to die.
Yeah.
And he says, we can bring people back.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is...
He would have liked Mormonism a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're catching the vision.
I think I am, too. This has been a very educational night.
Well, brothers and sisters and everyone in between, I feel confident that Brett has... I think he's going to get baptized.
I just need to wait for the pool to open.
Yeah. The hot tub's open, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the hot tub's still open.
Is there a river or a lake around here?
No, Steve has a hot tub at his place, which is right by where you parked.
Oh,
we could totally just go do this right now.
All right.
We're going to go baptize Brett. Usually I would wear white to do this. I'm in black tonight, but the Lord doesn't see color. He totally does, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, the blacks.
Oh, he
remember?
Totally does.
Yeah, until 74 with the blacks.
He might not honor your baptism if I baptize you in my black clothing.
Oh, right. Well,
I'm pretty white under this.
Okay.
But maybe it'd be a little weird.
Yeah, you should wear something, I would think, for a baptism.
Steve's got a swimsuit I could probably borrow.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Right. A white swimsuit. All right, well, thanks, everybody. Next time you see me, I'll be a Mormon.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Paul, for this wonderful tour of Salt Lake City.
It's been my pleasure. I'm a little bit